Laudator Jesus Christus, Vatican and World News.
In the headlines this Thursday, March 30th, Pope Francis's health improves as he undergoes treatment at Rome's Gemelli Hospital. The Vatican formally repudiates the doctrine of discovery, and the Jesuit Refugee Service releases a report denouncing the inhumane conditions migrants face in a detention centre in the UK. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo. Pope Francis was admitted on Wednesday afternoon to Rome's Gemelli Hospital, where he is currently undergoing treatment. A statement released on Thursday afternoon by the director of the Holy See Press Office, Matteo Bruni, reads that his clinical picture is progressively improving and he is continuing with his planned treatment. The statement also said that this morning after breakfast, the Pope read some newspapers and resumed work. Before lunch, he gathered in prayer in a private chapel in the hospital and received the Eucharist. Greetings and wishes for his speedy recovery are pouring into the Vatican. Our correspondent, Deborah Castellano-Lubov, is outside Gemelli Hospital, where journalists have gathered. She gives us the most recent updates from the ground.
Here at Rome's Gemelli Hospital, there has been good news and signs of relief. The director of the Holy See Press Office, Matteo Bruni, issued a statement saying that the Pope's clinical situation is always improving and that he is continuing his planned treatment. He had a good night in the hospital, which was followed by a breakfast, reading the newspaper, some work, some prayer, and receiving the Eucharist in the private chapel. Here at Gemelli, there is a huge press presence, but the hospital continues to function as it normally would. A few noted that we didn't even realize that Pope Francis was here because you wouldn't really know. But others who are aware have asked how he is, and they're relieved to hear that he is on the mend. He will be in the hospital a little longer for the continued treatment this week before Holy Week for a respiratory infection. Here at the hospital, there is a very discreet presence. You wouldn't be aware that the head of the Catholic Church is being treated here. You also wouldn't be aware of any concern because everything goes on as scheduled. There was even a moment where there were medical students affiliated with the university hospital who had graduated today, and it was actually a very joyful, beautiful moment for those medical students and their families. That is the atmosphere here at Gemelli. I'm Deborah Castellano-Lubov.
Pope Francis also sent out a tweet on Thursday morning in which he expresses gratitude for the messages and prayers received. The tweet reads, "I am touched by the many messages received in these hours and I express my gratitude for the closeness and prayers." In the meantime, as the world gathers in prayer for Pope Francis's health and well-being, he is asking for other prayers too in his monthly prayer intention. Today, in fact, Pope Francis has released his prayer intention for the month of April. He is urging everyone to pray and work for a non-violent culture which promotes peace. Devon Watkins tells us more.
As the Church marks 60 years since Pope St. John XXIII published his encyclical Pacem in Terris, Pope Francis is calling on Christians to pray for a nonviolent culture. The Pope released a video on Thursday accompanying his prayer intention for April 2023, produced by the Pope's Worldwide Prayer Network. He recalled that war is madness, which is beyond reason. Any war, any armed confrontation always ends in defeat for all, he recalled. Pope Francis contrasted a conflictual mentality with one based on nonviolence.
Vivir, hablar y actuar sin violencia.
Living, speaking, and acting without violence, he said, is not surrendering, losing, or giving up anything, but aspiring to everything. Everyone, added the Pope, is called to develop a culture of peace. Nonviolence can offer a guide for our actions both in daily life and in international relations. Let us remember, he said, that even in cases of self-defense, peace is the ultimate goal and that a lasting peace can exist only without weapons. Pope Francis wrapped up his intention video with the heart of his prayer appeal. Let us pray, he urged, for a more widespread culture of nonviolence, which will progress when countries and citizens alike resort less and less to the use of arms. A press release accompanying the video recalled the many people who have promoted the cause of peace and nonviolence, including Mahatma Gandhi, Martin Luther King Jr., and St. Teresa of Calcutta. As Pope Francis speaks, the video features scenes of destruction from various wars currently marring the world, along with the black and white portraits of advocates of peace. Jesuit Father Frederic Fornos, the international director of the Pope's Worldwide Prayer Network, said peace among peoples begins in the most concrete and intimate part of our hearts, just as war and conflict also have their roots there. The gospel, he said, shows us that the life of Jesus reveals the true way of peace and invites us to follow him. I'm Devin Watkins.
The prefect of the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, Cardinal Michael Czerny, has commented on the joint statement on the doctrine of discovery published on the 30th of March 2023. Speaking to Vatican Radio's Christopher Wells, Cardinal Czerny highlights the fact that the statement denotes the recognition of a historical attitude that continues to have effects today.
The Holy See has published a joint statement on this doctrine of discovery, first and foremost because the indigenous people of Canada have asked for it. They have asked for it over the years, and they asked for it again when the Holy Father was there last year. When I say they, obviously I don't mean everyone, but there have been calls, repeated calls, insistent calls to please clarify this, that you might say this historical thorn in the side. But it's important also to notice that the Indigenous people of Canada have been asking for a formal statement. And so the declaration is a formal declaration. If you would like to hear a pastoral response, you won't find it in this declaration. In that case, you would go back to the pastoral statements of Pope John Paul II and Pope Francis when they visited Canada. Or allow me to remember that in Bolivia in July 2015, I was there when the Holy Father, repeating John Paul II, asked the Church to kneel before God and implore forgiveness for the past and present sins of her sons and daughters, the many grave sins committed against the native peoples of America in the name of God during the so-called conquest.
The papal bulls speak about domination, subjugation, taking land. They talk about enslavement. How do you move forward from a legacy like that? Is this present response adequate?
When there's a legacy of hurtful language, going forward is a bit complex, because while it might seem best just to forget about it and carry on, that doesn't really heal. On the other hand, to spend all our time digging around in the past to find out who said what to whom and how guilty are they of that isn't healing either. So I think what the process in Canada is inviting everyone to do is to enter into dialogue, so that about these tense and painful subjects, there is mutual listening. And really mutual listening. It's not just that the Indigenous people need to speak, but the more recently non-Indigenous arrivals also need to speak.
That was Cardinal Michael Czerny, Prefect of the Dicastery for Promoting Integral Human Development, speaking there to Christopher Wells with regards to a joint statement on the doctrine of discovery published on the 30th of March 2023. With regards to this recently published statement by the Holy See on the doctrine of discovery, both the Canadian Conference of Catholic Bishops, the CCCB, and the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops, the USCCB, have issued separate statements expressing support for the Holy See in its repudiation of the doctrine. Linda Bordoni reports.
In their statement, issued to coincide with the publication of the Holy See statement, the Canadian bishops expressed gratitude towards the Vatican for issuing the declaration. They stress that numerous and repeated statements by the Church and by the popes throughout the centuries have upheld the rights and freedoms of Indigenous peoples. And they quoted the 1327 bull Sublimis Deus as an example. Indeed, the bishops reiterated, popes in recent times have also sought forgiveness on numerous occasions for evil acts committed against Indigenous peoples by Christians. And in having heard a strong desire on the part of the Indigenous peoples for the Church to address the doctrine of discovery, today's declaration, they say, from the Holy See, further repudiates any concepts that fail to recognize the inherent rights of Indigenous peoples. On behalf of the American bishops, Archbishop Paul Coakley of Oklahoma City and Secretary of the USCCB writes that This joint statement represents yet another step in expressing concern and pastoral solicitude for Indigenous peoples, whom, he continues, have experienced tremendous suffering because of the legacy of a colonializing mentality. Both the USCCB and the CCB end their statements by announcing that they are exploring ways in which to support an academic symposium, along with the Pontifical Committee for Historical Sciences, with Indigenous and non-Indigenous scholars to further deepen historical understanding about the doctrine of discovery. I'm Linda Bordoni.
And finally, JRS UK, the Jesuit Refugee Service, has released a scathing report on the inhumane conditions of residents in the Napier Barracks, a disused army base in Kent, which has been converted into an asylum accommodation. The report, which was issued on Wednesday, urges the UK government to close it and instead provide asylum seekers with safe and dignified accommodation. This comes as the controversial illegal migration bill progresses through Parliament amid strong criticism from opposition parties and humanitarian organisations. Lisa Zingarini tells us more.
Titled Napier Barracks, The Inhumane Reality, the Jesuit Refugee Service report is based on in-depth conversations held by JRS staff with people who had been at the camp in 2022. The report says that what emerged on the ground was deeply troubling. The site was bleak and run down, the setting was securitized, and the accommodation was crowded, taking a serious toll on residents' mental health. Key findings from those conversations include people being routinely brought to the camp without their prior knowledge, harsh military and prison-like living conditions, serious failures in screening for vulnerabilities, barriers to accessing healthcare, and lack of legal advice. Also, safety issues have not been addressed after a serious fire broke out at the camp at the end of January 2021. In light of these findings, the report urges the UK government to immediately and permanently close the Napier Barracks and abandon its plans for greater use of large-scale institutional asylum accommodation. According to JRS UK, Britain should instead provide asylum seekers with safe and dignified accommodation within British communities, which it says supports integration. The JRS report comes amid growing criticism against Prime Minister Rishi Sunak's new plan for immigration, which includes indiscriminately deporting illegal migrants crossing the English Channel and banning them from entering the UK in the future. I am Lisa Zingarini.
And that brings us to the end of this edition of Vatican and World News. For more on these and other stories, we invite you to visit our web portal at www.vaticannews.va. And don't forget to catch the latest updates on our Facebook page, Twitter feed and Instagram account. Many thanks go to Gustavo Messina in studio. In the Vatican, I'm Francesca Merlo.